May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Ephesians is the only one of Paul's letters in which he doesn't talk about Jesus returning to be among us someday in the future. That's noteworthy because it was Paul's firm belief that the second coming of Christ was imminent, like within his own lifetime. But in Ephesians, instead of Jesus' return, Paul focuses on the fact that Christ is already present in the community of his followers through the gift of his Spirit, and that you could see it because he was making the gospel known, inspiring faith in other believers, and kindling hope among disciples who had many earthly struggles. By the time Paul wrote this letter, maybe he was getting older and starting to believe that Jesus would not come back in his lifetime. Or maybe he was starting to finally understand what it meant to be in the company of the saints of God. Paul was a traveling missionary, and if you read through his letters, it's clear that he spent a lot of his time putting out fires in the churches that he founded, settling disputes, mediating petty squabbles, and just telling people how they were supposed to act as Christians. Pretty mundane and uninspiring stuff most of the time. But it seems that in Ephesus, maybe for the first time in his ministry, he had been part of a community where rather than being the presence of God for other people, he had had the opportunity to experience Christ himself through the others in the church. He was able to just rest in Christ through the fellowship of the faithful all around him. He says that he's thankful for their faith, that it inspires him. Maybe for the first time, he was able to take a minute, look up from his ministry, and realize the awesome wonder of being among the communion of saints, and recognize how impactful that was on his own faith. We've been teaching this class on Tuesday nights, Education for Ministry. At the beginning of each year, we all share our spiritual autobiographies. One of the common themes that goes through almost everyone's story is that somewhere along the way, there is always at least one saint in their lives that inspired them. One person that made faith real and tangible to them. One teacher who showed them what it meant to follow God in this world. I think pretty much every Christian has one. That person that made us believe that it was possible to follow God in our own lives and made us realize by their own blessedness that it was well worth it. That's the inheritance of faith that Paul talks about, I think. And when we pool all that inspired wisdom together as we gather as a community, it's what Paul calls the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints. I think this has to do with the blessedness that Jesus is preaching about in the gospel passage. Blessedness is a term that has been so overused in modern Christian culture that I fear it has lost its original meaning. It doesn't mean some outwardly obvious thing, like it often does when the preacher on TV says it. Like, pray to God and donate money and you will be blessed with a new job and a fancy car. Or something good happens in your life and you talk about how blessed you are. If that were the case, Jesus saying things like, blessed are the poor, wouldn't make any sense at all. Blessedness here means something like a deep spiritual peace. It's the same word they use for happiness, but it means something more like a contentedness that is not based on outward circumstances, but rather an internal communion with God that the world could never touch. Most of us have known people who have that. Most of us who have been here any length of time can probably look around the room and identify such people in our communal life. That sort of blessedness is what makes one a saint in this life and the next. And that blessedness is what the saints pass on as the inheritance to the rest of us. They do things like teach us the essentials of faith, like loving others even when the others do not love you back, or serving the least among us because they can see the face of Christ in every human being, or holding on to hope in the face of the harsh reality of real life. They are the people who, though they mourn, we know they will laugh again. The people who, though they seem empty, we believe will spring back full of life and hope for the future. The ones who, even though life's circumstances stand against them, we still consider them blessed because we can see that they already have an ownership stake in the kingdom of heaven. These are the saints of every generation, and we set aside a day to honor them because without their inheritance, Christian community would be on the verge of spiritual bankruptcy. There's an old story from the Hasidic Jewish tradition about a disciple who asked his rabbi about the meaning and importance of community one evening while they sat around a fire. The rabbi sat quietly for a long time as the fire died down into just a pile of glowing embers. Then the rabbi reached in with the tongs and removed one coal and set it off by itself. And it quickly faded and burned out completely. He then took a seasoned log and placed it on the remaining coals, and it caught, and the fire quickly roared back to life. That, he said, is what community means to us. And that, I would say, is the inheritance of the communion of saints. Blessedness is like that deep fire in the ember that gives warmth even when the big, ostentatious flame is gone. It's that deep fire that, when held in the community, can light others and inspire the next generation even after its own day is gone. Those who hold the fire in the embers of their being are the saints. They hold the light of Christ and pass it on to new folks so that they too can burn with the holy fire of God's presence. We pull them in close to feel their warmth and let them light the fire in us so that the light of Christ can be reignited and enliven a new generation. And every once in a while, we stir them. We pull them to the surface and turn them over so that they can heat and stoke the greater flame again, because we need to be rekindled and inspired anew. All Saints' Day is that sort of occasion. In a few minutes, we will remember the saints of this community we have lost in the last year. We will name them and bring them fully into our liturgy and honor the inheritance that they left us. Then you will have the chance to come forward. Name the saints of your life who have come before, whose light you carry into the presence, and drop a stone into the waters to be reminded that their inheritance overflows in you. It is one of the most holy and sacred things we do, honoring the saints who make our faith possible. But it is just as solemn a duty to make sure that the flame does not die with them, that we in turn take up the mantle of blessedness, that we rekindle our own faith lives and honor all the things that those saints taught us and instilled in us, that we become Christ's living presence in our world, and that we then make a conscious effort to pass that inheritance on to others. That's what the communion of saints is all about. And it makes sure that the fire never dies, that the blessedness never ends, and that the saints present and past are all joined together in this community, worshiping God and making Jesus' presence real until He comes again. Amen.
Amen.